Come on in.
Hi guys, how are you?
Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book. I am PJ Lynch, Laureate Nanogue of Ireland, and you're listening to Night Night Northwest.
Hiya.
Hey guys.
Tommy. Finn. Come on in. Hello to everyone here and to all our listeners at home. You're all very welcome to Milford Community Library in County Donegal for the fourth programme in our series called Night Night Northwest. Over the course of this series, we will bring you 9 unique programmes, all based on Irish children's literature. You will hear stories about giants, sunbeams, a happy prince, and even a little boy called Tom who refuses to wear shoes. We are delighted to be joined today by the pupils from Skull Mirra Milford. Our guest reader and author is Owen McNeil, who will be reading 2 excerpts from his story, Have You Seen My Celebration? Hello.
Hello.
Hey. So we've got the big classes in today, 5th and 6th. You're very welcome. Are you guys too big for story time?
You're never too old for stories.
Really? Do you like stories, Maya?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you read at night?
Yeah.
Yeah? Before bed?
Yeah.
What are you reading at the moment?
It's called Little Women.
Oh, that's a classic. That's a great book. What do you think the story might be about?
A party.
A party? Okay. Any other ideas? What do you think, Finn?
United winning.
United winning. Could be. Who here likes football? Everybody. Everybody likes football. Who do you support? Holly.
Man United.
Okay, Kyle.
Chelsea.
Seriously? Ava?
Man United.
Man United. What about the who's over there?
Celtic.
Celtic, okay, that's good. Maya?
Man United.
Man United. Girls?
Liverpool.
Oh, here. There's going to be some trouble here, Owen.
Yeah? We have a divided room.
Okay, so this story is about football, and I'm going to let Owen tell you all about it.
So I've supported Man United since I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I still support them now. And the first footballer that I ever... He was always my favourite footballer growing up, was a guy called Eric Cantona. He is from France. He played for Man United back in, like... It was back about 20 years or so ago. And he was famous for always wearing his collar up like that. I don't know if you've seen pictures of him. It's a story about first learning about football and about Eric Cantona and first starting to play football and also being bullied at school. And it's called Did You See My Celebration? My family had been living in Dunloe for 5 years. I didn't really fit in and I didn't like the town. We'd moved from Navan in County Meath, so I had a funny-sounding accent, and I didn't have a Donegal surname like Gallagher, Doherty, Boyle, Sweeney, O'Donnell, or McGee. It seemed like half the town had one of those names. My dad worked in the bank, and my mum was a primary school teacher, so people thought I was a bit posh. I wasn't a popular child in school. To be fair, I didn't make things easy for myself. I used to wear my navy blue woolen blazer I wore to my first communion at just about every chance I got. I spent my time in school down the back of the classroom, reading encyclopedias full of useless information that I would then use again at school table quizzes, answering questions about Bucephalus being Alexander the Great's horse, or that the star on the Israeli flag is called the Star of David. When Halloween came, I wrote poems for the teachers and classes to read out. I was bullied for this. I was called names, I got into fights, I wasn't invited to birthday parties, and people would laugh when I would answer questions in class. I remember once a new football my mum had given me was rubbed in dog poo. Another time, bullies ripped a speedometer off the front of my bike and left it on my desk. There were hundreds or thousands, who knows really, of these small incidents that let me know my place in the school. Coming in through the gates in the morning, whether I was dropped by mum or dad or whether I cycled my bike, I felt completely alone. It was worse than a feeling of friendlessness. This was more of a feeling of being under constant threat. a feeling that just about every boy walking around the yard was going to attack me, undermine me, or make me feel small. But I tried to fit in. At lunchtime, my classmates would bring a football onto one of the football pitches and I would join them. It seemed sometimes that I was bullied for everything I did, so why would football be any different? It took me a while, but soon I became very comfortable on the football field. I don't know whether it was because I was competitive or I was just born with some kind of talent for the game, but I became very good at football. It came very easily, and I would look forward to every lunch break, every PE class, and just about every chance I had to get out onto the pitch. And I was given a tough time. We didn't have a referee, and I was kicked and pulled and hacked and punched and tripped and slapped. But I could always find a response with the ball at my feet. I picked a team to support, Manchester United, just because they were the most popular in my class. And I would occasionally catch an FA Cup match that was shown on terrestrial TV. We didn't have Sky. The first time I learned about individual players, though, was January 26, 1995. I was 7 years old and in first class. I came into school on a Thursday morning and sat down at my desk. After the class roll call, my teacher, Mrs. Breslin, asked us to take out our copies to write our news. She began by asking whether we'd heard about Eric Cantona kicking a fan the night before. Even though I supported Manchester United, I had no idea that Eric Cantona was the star of their team and that he had jumped over the advertising hoardings at Crystal Palace's Selhurst Park and kicked someone. I didn't even know that Manchester United had played Crystal Palace the night before. Some of my classmates were able to talk about the kick, saying that they had heard their fathers or older brothers talking about it. The general feeling in the class was that Cantona had done a very bad thing and that he was about to be punished for it. I was absolutely engrossed. In my very little experience of watching football, I could tell that something like Cantona's kick had never happened. I thought about it for the rest of the day. I wanted to know why he had done it. My mum taught in my school, and when I met her by our car at home time, I asked her what she knew about the kick. I kept asking questions, and when we got home, Mum handed me the Irish Times open on the page talking about the match report. I learned that Cantona had been sent off for kicking a Crystal Palace player who had apparently been playing dirty all night. As he was making his way off the pitch, a Crystal Palace fan had run down to the side of the pitch and started shouting at him. Cantona ran towards the fan and kicked him, kung fu style. He then got up and started punching the fan. The report said that Cantona had been in trouble before, that he had been sent off and that he had been banned, and he was looking at a long ban for this kick. Over the next few months, I became absolutely obsessed with Cantona's story. There was talk of him facing criminal charges and maybe being sent to jail. In the end, he got community service, an 8-month footballing ban, and he would miss the rest of the season and some of the next. Back at school, my temper was beginning to flare up, and every now and again, after deciding I had taken as much torture as I could handle, I would lash out at a bully before being sent to the principal's office to be punished. If no one else understood Cantona, I thought I did. A book salesman used to visit our school. He would leave a catalogue and a selection of books in the staff room and would take orders before returning with the required copies. One week, he came with a book about Eric Cantona, which Mum bought for me. It's still in my bedroom back home in Ballyshannon. It taught me that Cantona was different. I'd started going to organised football training and was playing for the local under-10s team. I loved playing the game, but going to training was a bit scary. I used to train with boys as old as under-18s, and there were no teachers around to protect me. I had to deal with older boys hiding my boots, chopping me down on the pitch, or making fun of me for being different to the other boys in Dunloe. Once they caught me with a Roald Dahl book, Matilda, in my kit bag, the bullies took it out and they threw it away. I kept reading my book about Eric Cantona. I started to see that he was a little bit different too. He liked to read as well. When he signed for Leeds United, journalists asked him who his heroes were, and he said Rimbaud, a 19th century French poet. And he liked to paint. He loved Vincent van Gogh and spent his time in between seasons painting his own impressionist pieces. He modelled in fashion shows. He rode a motorcycle. He didn't really have any friends who played football. I realised that people thought Cantona was a little bit strange. I also realised that this was okay. It was okay for Cantona to be different. He didn't try to hide who he was. I started to see that maybe it was okay for me to feel all alone at football training. It was okay for me not to have any friends on the football team. It was okay for me to have a book in my kit bag. It was okay because I loved the game and I was different, just like Cantona. So that is the first extract. Jaden?
It's kind of a sad story.
Yeah. Why do you think it's sad?
We're getting bullied and everything.
Yeah, it was quite tough. I think I was, I guess I was about 7 or 8 at the time. I had a couple of friends and my mum and dad were great as well. But yeah, like it was pretty tough. How do you guys think I should have dealt with what was going on there? How am I?
Walk away and tell the teacher.
Yeah.
Just ignore them.
Yeah. Anyone else? Hi, Anya.
Tell someone you trust.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you think of the story? Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah? You dying to hear what's going to happen next?
Yes.
What do you think might happen? Any ideas? Who's any thoughts on how this story's going to go? Bushing.
He might meet Cantona.
Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Okay, he might meet Cantona.
He's going to go to Old Trafford.
Finn thinks he's going to go to Old Trafford. Okay, maybe. But how's he going to deal with these bullies? They're giving him such a hard time in the story, aren't they? What's he going to do, being influenced by Cantona? Hushing.
Going to be better at them at football.
Going to be better at football, okay.
Dropkick them.
I don't think that's going to sort out anything. Maybe he's a very clever response, does he? A funny response. Will we read on and see?
Yeah.
I was starting to be known as a bit of a bold boy in school, and I kept being sent to the principal's office. It was always for the same thing. I would be playing football in the yard at lunchtime when, at some point, I would decide to punch or kick a schoolmate I had decided had given me too much hassle. I would try to explain that I had been made fun of or fouled over and over again, but I wasn't listened to. I was told that no matter what, I was never to start a fight. At each meeting in Mrs. McCary's office, I would pretend to listen while thinking about my favourite Cantona story. He had been sent off for throwing a football at a referee, and the French football organisers called a meeting to decide his punishment. He was asked to explain himself and he was given a 1 month ban. Cantona then walked up to each of the committee members and said one word: idiot. I loved it. It's how I wanted to react and it was how I felt. The boys who bullied me and snapped at my heels on the football pitch, they were idiots. Cantona knew how to handle bullies. He used to walk around the football pitch with his chest puffed out and his shoulders back and his collar turned up. Just like his kick at Selhurst Park, Cantona's upturned collar really was extraordinary. No other player wore his collar up. It wasn't the done thing, but Cantona did it. If you're going to be the one player to wear your collar like that, you're asking for attention. And Cantona did that. With every movement he made, he asked for trouble. Cantona was just different. He didn't hang out with fellow footballers the way he was supposed to. He didn't spend his free time the way he was supposed to. He didn't speak in interviews the way he was supposed to. And he didn't wear his collar the way he was supposed to. While he was being booed and kicked and tripped and being punished by referees and bans, he kept being himself. He kept wearing his collar up and he refused to change. Cantona taught me how to deal with bullies better than anyone who told me to just ignore them. He taught me to turn my collar up and keep being myself. Back in 1996, at the end of January, Manchester United were playing Reading in the FA Cup. Reading were a couple of divisions below United, and it was an away game. It was the only time that Reading fans were going to have Cantona play against their team. Every time he touched the ball, their supporters screamed at him. Regardless, United went 2-0 up. The match, which wasn't all that important, was won. Late on, Cantona scored an easy tap-in. I still remember his celebration. He turned towards the Reading fans deliberately slowly, and he just stood and looked at them. He raised his arms and he cupped his ears. And he stood there, as if to say, I can't hear you now. I turned to Mum and I told her that the next time I scored, I was going to do that. She told me that was a silly idea. He's only doing it because he's been booed all game. He's telling the Reading fans that he can't hear them anymore. Perfect, I thought. I was still going to football training every week. At the end of each training session, every player, from my under-10s right up to under-18s, would take part in a penalty shootout competition. The rules were simple. Our coach would stand at the right goalpost and roll a ball in our direction. We were to hit the ball first time, and if we scored, we would shoot again in the next round. Miss, and we were out. There was a trophy for the winner to take home for a week. The players who missed would walk behind the goalposts and spend the next 10 minutes or so watching the rest of the competition. One evening, training ran late and Mum arrived to pick me up just as the shootout was still going on. I was still in the competition. There were five of us still in the running. My turn came, I stepped up. Before James could roll me the ball, he had to take a phone call. While he was away, the boys behind the goal started a chant. Miss. 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 I looked up to see what I was dealing with. 50 or so boys, some about 18. I'd had worse. Miss. 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 I looked over to James, who was still on the phone, and then to my mother's car, and I saw her looking out her side window at me, her hand over her mouth. She seemed sad. The chant was catching on. Miss. 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 I could see Mum getting slightly annoyed in the car, looking first to me and then to James, still engrossed in his phone call. Miss. 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 I was getting annoyed myself, to be honest. I liked my coach, but why couldn't he see what was going on here? The chant was getting louder and louder. Miss. 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 James finally got off his phone. I was still standing there waiting to take my shot. Just about everyone was chanting, telling me to miss. At this point, I honestly wanted to travel back in time when I was setting out for training and decide to stay in the house instead. Maybe I should just turn around and run in the opposite direction for as long as it took for me to stop hearing miss, 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 miss. But I stopped myself and I remembered. I bit my lip and I looked at the boys leading the chant and I thought of Eric Cantona and how he dealt with bullies. I made absolutely certain I didn't look at the ground. I was going to face the crowd. I knew what I was going to do when the ball was rolled to me. James finally took his position on the right post. He looked up at me and he rolled the ball in my direction. I was standing on the edge of the penalty box on the left-hand side. Miss. 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 The ball came to me and I looked at the keeper who was standing dead centre in the goal. I began my run-up and I kept my eye on the ball. As I made my way inside the penalty area, about halfway between the penalty spot and the 18-yard line, I took one last look at the goals and I picked my spot. I pulled back my right foot and I swung it forward, the inside of my boot connecting with the ball beginning its flight towards the goal. Miss. 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 I looked up and watched as the ball swung outside the right post before curling back in. The keeper took a step and dived. I think he got a fingertip to it just before it hit the back of the net. The boys behind the goals started to boo me. I knew exactly what to do. I jogged over to the goals and stood beside James. I looked straight at the boys who had missed. I raised my hands to my ears and I stood there. Just like Cantona. The celebration meant, you can boo me all you want, but it doesn't matter. I can't hear you now. My prize for scoring that goal was another shot and being forced to face the boos again. I missed, but that wasn't all that important. There were laughs and cheers, but I didn't care. I walked over to my kit bag and I picked it up before making my way to Mum. When I got into the car, I could have burst into tears or asked why I kept being treated like that or asked for a hug, but I didn't. I pulled the car door shut behind me. I looked at Mum's sad smile. Did you see my celebration?
Oisin, what do you think?
Thought it was very good that football isn't just about a game. It's going to be a lot more than that.
It's a good answer. Well done. Have you any questions for Owen?
How do you come up with ideas?
I think I wrote that story about a year ago. And it was just after, I think it was the 20th anniversary of Eric Cantona's signing for Manchester United, or it was the 20th anniversary of his retirement, and there were all these news stories about him, and it just made me remember when I first heard about him, and it made me want to kind of write a bit about it. It made me remember all those kind of memories and how and why he was my favourite footballer, and kind of like what Oisin said, like it was more than just about a football game, or it was more about him just being a footballer. He kind of helped me through a kind of a very tough time, so I wanted to write a bit about him.
Tommy,
are you going to expand on the book?
Yeah, like I have a kind of a longer version of that, and yeah, like I'd absolutely love to write more about it. Yeah,
I think you've got some fans here, Owen. They'd buy your book. Does anyone here write stories? You must. Your hand went straight up. Samantha,
yeah.
Do you like to write stories?
Yeah.
Fantastic. What type of stories do you write?
Like adventures.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah? And who are the characters?
A girl.
Yeah? What's her name?
Usually, I don't know.
She hasn't got a name
ones.
Yet? Huh?
There's different ones.
Different ones?
Yeah.
Yeah? Adventure stories.
They're really short.
Well, but that's good. It's good to start off with short stories. Is that how you started off, Owen? Just writing a little bit at a time?
Yeah, like just a little bit, kind of every, you know, every couple of days or and before you know it.
Yeah. Oisin?
I wrote a story about an alien who...
Great.
...came to Earth to protect it, and he needed help from someone to defeat a thing that was trying to destroy Earth. So he got a boy who was constantly bullied in school and was like an outsider from everything. So he started doing like fighting schools and all that, and he became very good at it. But he could never find the courage to fight the bullies. So the boy, the alien, became friends with him. And they set up on an adventure for him to get the courage to fight off the bullies and for him to help him defeat the thing that's about to destroy Earth. And like there's a wee alien thing that I drew, and I think he's like the eyes, he can tell them all the stuff, and he's like a wee helper, and he has a wee weird head.
Oisin, that is just fantastic. Do you like writing?
I don't like writing, but I like making stories.
Making stories up. But it's easy right now on a computer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that just sounds amazing. I would read that book. Turn it into a book.
Sometimes
and then it'll get made into a movie. So, Owen, you wrote from experience in the book. So I think it's a good idea to write from experiences, your own experiences. A little bit easier?
Yeah.
Yeah? Write about things you know. Or then you can just go totally mad and make up stuff. Can't you? Be the next J.K. Rowling. Just make up whatever you want. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book.
That's it from this episode of the series. I'd like to thank the children from Skulmira Milford. Please join us next week when we will be broadcasting from Carndonagh Community Library, and in our audience will be the children from Skulmira Glenealy. So until next week...
Night, night,
okay, that's it. Thanks so much, guys. Did you enjoy that?
Night Night Northwest was produced, directed and presented by Alison Toomey and is a Real Films production which was funded by the Donegal County Council Library Service and the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.